Wiley's second line of attack was to reach out to Dr. Frederick Hoffman, a 59-year-old statistician who specialised in industrial diseases and worked for the Prudential Insurance Company. After reading Wiley's letter, Hoffman began making inquiries. His first port of call, at Wiley's urging, was to visit Marguerite Carlow. It was now almost a year since Marguerite had made that fateful Christmas Eve trip to the dentist. By the time Hoffman visited her in December 1924, he found her a lamentable case, which is lingering between life and death, with apparently no hopeful outlook for the future. He couldn't help but be moved. Before the year was out, Hoffman, a recognised authority on occupational hazards, had sent a strongly worded letter to President Roeder at USRC. "If the disease in question were compensable, I seriously doubt if your company would escape liability," he wrote pointedly. And he added that it will be made compensable in the course of time if further cases should arise, is self-evident. A warning shot had been fired, and the Orange Dial painters were determined that this would be only the start of it. Marguerite, in particular, could not stop thinking that she had given her all to that company, and this was how they repaid her. Out in the cold, not a cent to spare to ease her suffering. And not just her, her friends, too. Though it had been a long time since she had felt like herself, Marguerite could dimly remember how she used to be, a dynamic young woman in sleekly fitted tailored clothes with fabulous millinery. That winter, as the calendar pages turned and the new year began, she gathered all her courage and what little strength she had left. She asked her family for help, being too weak now to do what she needed. But this was important. This she would do, even if it was her last act on earth. Against all the odds, Marguerite Carlow found a lawyer to take her case, and on 5th of February 1925, she filed suit against the United States Radium Corporation for $75,000. The dial painter's fight back had begun. Chapter 15, Ottawa, Illinois, 1925. Marguerite's legal case made the local news in Newark. It's unlikely that the radium dial girls in Ottawa got to hear of it, but their employers certainly did. The radium industry was a small pond, and radium dial was one of the biggest fishes of them all. By 1925, the studio in Ottawa had become the largest dial painting plant in the country, supplying 4,300 dials a day. Business was booming, and Radium Dial wanted to take no chances of having a hold-up in their operations, such as their fellow Radium Corporation had suffered when the rumours first started in New Jersey. Radium Dial now conceived a master plan to avoid the same problem. They opened a second dial painting studio in Streeter, 16 miles south of Ottawa, where less was known about radium. Both plants ran simultaneously for 9 months, but once it was apparent the Ottawa workers hadn't heard the rumours from the east and weren't going to quit, the firm shut down the second studio. Some employees transferred to Ottawa, others simply lost their jobs. The company also decided, just as USRC had done before them, to have their workers medically tested later in the year. The exams were conducted by a company doctor in Mr. Reed's home on Post Street. Not all the women were tested. Catherine Wolfe was not among them. That was a shame, because just lately she had not been feeling too well. After 2 years of working at Radium Dial, she later remembered, "I began to have pains in my left ankle, which spread up to my hip." She'd started to limp, just a little, every now and again, when that ache made itself known.